any way. Those are the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day.
Firstly, I just want to say, can I fucking fight or what? Fuck you guys, you think I can't fight?
If Katie Taylor's willing, I'm ready and able to make this an equal fight, 12 rounds, 3 minutes. So Katie, are you up for it?
Well, Bob, don't ever disrespect me. I would never fight on the undercard of Jake Paul. I'm a 3-time division world champion, 2-time Olympic gold medalist in boxing. Like, I can beat up Jake Paul.
Real hot girl shit. I just kept saying in my head, and new. When I'm on the bag in the gym, that's what I'm saying. And new. And that's what happened.
He didn't ask you about Jesus. He asked you about the
human. Nigga, Mayor know what time it is. You know, I'm top dog. She's never been in a ring with a dog before. You know, I'm a pit bull chained up. She's like the poodle in a picket white fence, you know what I'm saying, barking for no reason.
I'm the new.
This is the start of the takeover for me for the lightweight division. I don't see him fighting himself.
I know she wants to come here tonight to witness greatness. Maybe you can learn something from me. We can get the rematch over the parking lot right now, too.
SCS Promotions.
It was Lamb versus Lion. It is over.
You become rich. Wealth is something that is established.
Mission Impossible.
I'm the number one heavyweight in Border Wars. What you think?
It doesn't matter what you think.
Put a 300-pound man down with my bare hands.
The guy looked over. Oh, over.
I'm knocking head gear off a nigga.
Damn, Shorty, killing him.
Jones Walk Academy. Follow me and learn from the champ.
Mission Impossible.
SCS Promotions.
At the end of the day, every cheater has their day.
He has a good power, he has a good skills, but most of people think about him like he's untouchable.
Look at him go!
This was the best fighter since Floyd Mayweather.
I'm going to tell y'all the truth about Canelo. Motherfucker easy, man.
Bivol is always going to be Canelo.
He's still undefeated and still the WBA champion.
Fucking headband. Canelo. Bullshit.
Wow. I wanted to see the dog in you, bro. The dog in you, because at the end of the day, if you a champion, you're supposed to be the best.
Sometimes it's funny.
And you all should believe in yourself and you achieve what you want.
I told y'all niggas had me in the dirt. I came out the mud. No dirt. Bivol, baby.
SCS Promotion.
I'm coming back. I gotta at least do a four, man. You feel me?
Shout out to all my suckers, duckers, motherfuckers out there.
Mess Payment.
Are you big and bad and you fucking crying like a baby?
Just my thoughts, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just keeping it 100% real. I put in the mouth.
I get in every fucking gym. They want me there.
Yo, dude is straight corny.
Horrible fighter.
TheBoxingBoys.com.
You doing some whack shit. You covered in whack juice out here.
Horrible fighter.
Your favorite fighter's a liar.
You mad at me for keeping it fucking real.
Ness Kamen.
I'm being keeping it real. Like them niggas say, keep it real. That's real.
TheBoxingBoys.com. Carrying popcorn in bags for grown-ass men.
The fuck off my comment section, man.
He's on fire.
What's the highest level you made it to? The comment section?
Bruh.
Fuck out of here. Somebody insert the fucking excuse that I need to be telling y'all, because y'all lying, man.
Excuses. I knew it was coming.
Our referee stops the contest. He is the winner by way of technical knockout, and he is still undefeated.
Ness Kamen. This message was brought to you by SDS Promotions.
What up, what up, what up? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nesta Gibbs. Find me on TikTok at Nesta Gibbs and catch me today releasing my new project at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Nesta Gibbs YouTube channel, where I sat down with supermodel gunslinging Jamie Villamore. So check that out today as it releases. But right now, we're going to be talking a little Tank Davis and his interview with Brian Custard of the Last Stand podcast, where he made it very clear that he did not like what Devin Haney had to say about him. And since Haney has so much to say, Tank now wants to fight him. He made it clear, I'm no longer with Mayweather Promotions. We can make this fight. We'll play that audio in a bit, but Daniel Alvarez, Ringwalk Danny, what up?
What up, champ? What up, what up? Good morning. How you feeling?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And yourself?
Man, it was, when I walked out of my house this morning, it was actually a little chilly.
Really?
And it threw me off because it was supposed to be like high 90s today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm in shorts, but.
Okay.
No, other than that, all good. All good. Ready to, yeah, this some good. This is a good topic, and I'm mad it came out like right after the morning show yesterday. Because, mm-hmm. You know, I've just seen a lot of people talking about it. I'm sure we'll get a lot of callers calling in, you know, having to say their two piece on it. So, looking forward to get started on this.
Their two piece, not 2 cents.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said.
No, I hear you. I hear you, man. But let's get to this audio. Let me see if I can pull this thing up.
Devin Haney said, quote, if you don't care to go and make the big fights happen, what's the point of even leaving your current situation? Might as well stay there and be loyal to Floyd. What do you think about that?
He's an email champ. He's an email champ. He's fighting because somebody mailed him the belt. Did that ever happen in boxing before? And he's talking crazy. And he still got, like, come on. So if you win, you said all that. If you win, I'm not out of my contract. Let's make the fight happen if you want to talk crazy. Let's do that. I want to fight you if you win. Devin Haney.
So what's your thoughts? That's the fight I want, man.
Of course.
That's the fight I've been wanting.
And you and I have had countless conversations, both having been to Devin and Tank fights and seeing the reception that they get. And, you know, we have always said that is like the fight for Black Hollywood. Right. So, no, I love it, man. I love it. I don't know how easy it'll be in Devin's current contract, given that he has a rematch clause and then a third fight as well, tied with Top Rank and Lou DiBella. So we shall see how, you know, obviously he has a fight at hand next weekend. And Tank has his this weekend. So, but that's the fight we all want. You know, that's the fight we all want. And if this is like, and I know it's not the beginning, but if this is like the beginning to the end of that chapter, to where now, you know, we go down the road of where we get the back and forth for a year, year and a half, fight gets made, you know, that's cool. I'm all for that because that's the fight I want to see.
Yeah, I mean, how realistic do you think it is? Again, you know, Haney is tied up in a rematch clause down under with George Kambosos, who had something to say, poking fun at Haney yet again. I don't know if you've seen that.
You know I did.
Okay. Is it only on his Twitter or is it also on
it's
his
on his Twitter too? Oh, damn. I saw it on Instagram.
Okay, here it goes. Oh,
so play the one on Twitter.
Well, we got to wait.
Oh, yeah.
We got to wait for Austin.
Yeah, our boy Austin got in a car accident this morning, and he had to go use the restroom, so.
Yeah.
But, damn, I didn't know it was one on Twitter, too, champ.
I mean, I'm sure it's on Twitter, because if you post it on Insta, you know, it does the share, automatic share.
Oh, I don't do that. I don't do that. But, I am going to his Twitter.
Wait, so you don't have your Instagram and your Twitter connected?
Absolutely not.
This guy is so weird, bro.
Nah, bro. It's like Twitter's for certain things. Yeah, so he did post it on his Twitter.
Twitter's for certain things. This guy's funny, bro.
Yeah. Bro, it's like Instagram's just certain shit, Facebook's, you know?
I hear you, man. I hear you. I thought they were all social media networks.
They are, but, you know.
And you socially share.
You socially share, but the way the algorithm works, you know, you got to strategically post certain things on certain platforms.
Well, I mean, George strategically posted on both and got plenty of traction on both.
I think it was more on Instagram, though.
So it's not on Twitter?
No, it is. I'm saying as far as the traction, I think the traction is...
Yeah, I mean, on Instagram, it has phenomenal traction. It has, last time I checked, it had over 470 comments. And it has 112,000 views. And it was only posted 3 hours ago. So that's a lot. That's a lot. That's, what is that, like 1.5 comments per minute?
I don't know.
More. Maybe.
Yeah, definitely more. It's about 3 a minute because that's 180 minutes in 3 hours.
Sheesh.
So about 3 a minute.
There you go, because they have about 470. And that's the last time I checked. But it looks like Austin is here, so we'll get that screen share in just a bit. And
go to the one. Are you on Instagram or Twitter?
Yeah, Insta.
All right, cool, because that's the one Devin replied on.
Yes. So this is a video from George Kambosos' verified Instagram, and the caption reads, "My biggest fan, how good is this? Bill and Devin supporting a foreigner instead of their own countrymen. I love it. Now let's see how much you love me June 5th when I get my hands on you. Let's go. Hashtag June 5th. And I'll set the audio here so you can see what Kambosos is exactly talking about.
Let's go! That's a big
one. Yo, why you can still see Theo saying what? What? Theo crazy.
Oh, shit. Let's go! Let's go!
Look at Bill. They excited. Yo, but it's funny because George is taking advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Put it back up, Austin. He's taking advantage of that, but it worked out that way. They were excited. He got the fight because they assumed they would get the fight. They got the fight.
They got the fight.
But Devin comes and replies. He says, "Me and you agreed. If you won, that you would fight me. Of course I was happy I would get my shot. June 5th, I'll take full advantage. Hashtag undisputed."
George replied.
To that?
Yeah.
Oh, let me look for it.
Yeah, George replied to that. I saw the reply.
I'm looking for it. I'm shocked that it wouldn't be high. There it goes. He says, "See you soon. Don't get it twisted. I gave you this shot. You were telling me a few other things too, but I'll hold on that for now. I'll hold on to that for now, I guess." So what you think Devin told him? Like, "Oh, you're a true champion. You're a man of your word. You're a real man." I mean, all normal things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I want to assume. I don't know what Devin told George, and George is keeping close to the chest. But George is getting ridiculous traction on his post, let me tell you. Look, 307 likes on that reply. So this is funny, though, man, because, you know, you got this happening on one end while you got Tank on the other end, you know, ready to sink his teeth into Devin Haney, which is the fight that I want. I'm really – you can take it down, Austin. I really want those two crowds to mingle and intermix, and I don't know where that fight happens, but assuming that Devin wins those belts and that fight happens means he should be the A side. You know, I'm sure Top Rank is going to throw the bag at him.
I'm sure
the Loma fight isn't set in stone. So, like, if he beats George twice and Tank really is a free agent and really wants to fight, I'm sure that will be next because that's bigger than Loma. Haney Tank or Haney Loma, what you think?
I think if you're Bob, you do Haney Loma simply because you'll have control of the belt.
You already got control of the belt because Haney's your fighter.
Right, exactly. But I'm saying if Bob looks at it, he looks at Haney Tank like more risk.
Okay.
Because Tank could win.
And walk away with the belts. But that's what I'm saying. He's a free agent. So they can negotiate with him and put him in a contract is what I'm thinking.
They could. Yeah, they definitely could. Yeah, definitely could. So, and you're right. That would also, you know.
Let's go!
Like you said, open possibilities for Javante if they were to do a contract, you know, with their other fighters there as well. They got guys from 30 to 40, so he'd be A-okay.
Exactly. So if you're Tank, you're a free agent, you're saying you want Haney, Bob sits you down, he's like, look, we'll give you Haney, you know, Haney at 35, who else do they have? Maybe throw him a Mexican, maybe a Valdez fight. Would Valdez take it?
I don't know. I mean, Valdez is there. Loma's there. Shakur is there. Ramirez
I was gonna save Shakur for last. So I guess you're right.
Ramirez
it would be
is there.
That's too much of a murder row. But I'll throw it out there just cause you know. But like, sign to fight Haney. If you beat Haney, you get you know, Valdez then Shakur. You might want to stretch that out. You might need to give him a 5-fight deal like you gave Fury because Haney, Valdez, Shakur's too fast. It's too fast, bro. They're young. Shakur's not even, you know what I'm saying? Like, Tank's already done and made hella money. Shakur's just starting to make money. So it's like, I mean, unless they're going to go, Top Rank hasn't been doing rematches, but if you're going to do rematches, then cool. You know, you could do Tank, you know, somehow no rematch for Haney, which is bullshit, moves on to Valdez and then rematch with Shakur because he's the future, right? But I don't see how you do that with Haney. Like, Haney comes back from Australia. He should be who you are invested in.
Of course.
But again, Tank is Tank. You know, if he becomes a free agent as a promoter, you know, you got to go for him.
Yeah, but we also don't know what just happens. After, you know, Haney, like, what happens with Haney after June 5th? You get what I'm saying? Like, we don't know what could happen as far as, like, look what happened in the sense to Andy Ruiz, you know. And, you know, it may really blow out to the world. Like, this guy went out there, did it without his father, his trainers, and, you know, beat the guy in his backyard at 23 years old. And it may really, he may just become a superstar.
But that's what I'm saying. That they should be invested in him if he comes out of this as the champion, you know, their money should be invested in him. But as a promoter, you can't not throw an offer at Tank,
no,
who's
absolutely,
free.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Shout out to Brian Custer, man, with the interview with Tank. It seemed to be at the press conference.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe afterwards or beforehand, yes.
So he sat down with him after. And, again, what did you think of what Tank had to say in terms of, you know, feeling that Haney is an email champion?
I mean, that I don't agree with. You know, to me, Devin was interim champ in line to fight for Lomachenko. We know what happened there. And he was elevated to full world champ. Like, but regardless,
so,
I liked the energy. Because that's a fight that I want. So the fact that he's saying, cool, let's fight next, I'm happy with it. Because, you know, he ain't really done that before. It's really been like, you know, I'm going to sit down with my team, Al, you know, Mayweather Promotions, Coach Calvin, and, you know, we're going to figure out what's the next best move. Nah, he said, I want Devin Haney next. And I just, like I said, not that either guy is scared of each other because I know they're not. That's just a fight that I want to see. So, of course, you know, I like that.
I love the fight. I just don't know where that fight happens. Where are they? Where are they?
I know where you want it at. I know where you want it at.
I mean, I don't think it'll happen, right? Like, you got Haney, who's done all the heavy lifting, as Earl would say. Then you have Tank, who's a draw everywhere. So do you give Haney home court advantage of Las Vegas? He's a resident. He's been here forever. Or do you go to Tank's backyard in Atlanta just because he sells a lot of tickets? I don't know. Again, where is this neutral location?
No, I think Vegas is a neutral location. You know, granted, Devin lives here, but, you know, they're from the Bay. But it's just a Vegas fight regardless.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a Vegas fight regardless. Like, when Floyd would fight in Vegas, it's not like Floyd had home court advantage in the sense as much as it was just a Vegas fight. You get what I'm saying? It was more a Vegas fight than it was, oh, you know, he's fighting where he live at. Like, I never looked at it that way. To me, it's a Vegas fight. So I think that's a fight that can do, man, if Devin goes out, like, think about it. If Devin goes to Australia twice and then beats Loma, like, Devin's going to be a superstar. So you have to do that at Allegiant Stadium. Like, Tank already draws, and that's against lesser opposition. Now he's facing somebody where it's going to be a 50-50 fight.
Allegiant, I know you spoke to the owner. Do you think he even knows Tank? Did you mention Tank? Because I felt like you mentioned Fury, no?
He mentioned Fury, and I'm like, Fury just retired, so we can't do Fury, you know? I know we talked about Earl Crawford. Earl Crawford was the fight that I mentioned.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that'd be great. I think that would be great to see. And like I said, we're still talking a year and a half from now. So if Devin is already a draw in who he is, you know, now about to get undisputed, have to, you know, defend it in Australia again, and then Loma, he gonna be a star.
Yeah.
He's gonna be a star. And it's crazy because you think about it, he's only gonna be 24 years old.
It's very interesting to see, do they go with that rematch?
Yeah, it is.
You know, because now you know your dad can't get in. So do you go do it again, even if you hypothetically got it done the first time? And we've heard him say he's on video saying, if I beat him once, I could beat him twice. And I get that. You know, there's a sense of familiarity with the person you've shared the ring with, whether it's sparring or fighting. So if he has however many rounds, I can see him being confident.
Right.
Just as confident as a Jermell Charlo, right? Like, once Jermell went into the rematch, he knew he was going to knock out Castaño. And we thought it was pre-fight hype, and then he really knocked out Castaño.
Miami. What you think about that location?
Tough. Tough. Devin is not from Miami. Neither is Tank. Neither one of them are Canelo. I don't know. You know, I think you're just looking for, like, a nice location for you.
No. I'm reading it in the chat. Matt Garcia said Miami.
I don't know why Miami would be a location for Devin or Tank, especially when Devin was like a co-main or something like that the last time he was in Miami.
No. He was main event, but that was bubble, no fans, you know.
Not in Miami.
Yeah. Well,
he was on a Jake card or a Logan card in Miami.
No.
He wasn't on an influencer card?
No. In L.A., yes, in L.A., in Los Angeles. He was co-main event to KSI Logan Paul, too.
In L.A. So when did he fight in Miami?
Miami, he fought Gamboa. He fought Gamboa, but it was pandemic bubble. So it was no, you know.
Okay, so they tried with Gamboa. He's Cuban.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not like it was no fans. It was nothing. So that's just Florida was just a state that had.
Yeah, that was open, wide open, and they could get the fights off during the bubble. I get what you're saying. I mean, they're still the only state that allows the most exhibitions and, you know, creator clashes. All that stuff is happening down there. You know, Logan's fighting, everybody's fighting in Florida.
Yep. So I don't know. Like, what about, okay, so hear me out on this. So if it's not Miami, because you did bring up Canelo, one thing that Eddie Hearn did in that fight, all the ringside was like couches with tables and shit. You think that that's a fight, you know, that maybe something like that could be done if it's done at, like, an Allegiant?
Couches and tables.
Yeah, like ringside. It was like VIP, like the Atlanta. Just like the Atlanta. Just like the Atlanta, but it was at the stadium.
I mean, whatever gets people in the door.
I'm just saying, because you see the crowds that it attract. You see the people they bring out. You see the women coming out. You see the scammers and the ballers and the drug dealers coming out. Like, the rappers coming out. The ball players coming out.
I don't know if they're going to come to Miami, though.
You don't think so?
I don't know. Yo, first of all, if you in Vegas, it's a mug to get to Miami, bro. You know, it's hard to get a straight flight. And, you know, it's just humid. And it's like New York. Why Miami? Ugh, I wouldn't. I don't know.
They don't got to be Miami. But I'm saying.
No, I'm not saying it has to be either. I'm just saying I don't see.
I think.
I don't see how Tank.
I told you.
Capitalizes off his fan base in Miami.
I told you I think that's a Vegas fight. Yeah. You know.
I mean, he is training in Miami, Tank.
He is.
You know.
He is. I will say, too, Tank has proven that he can draw on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just did it in December, and then he did it a few years back when he fought at the War Grounds. That being said, you know, he hasn't fought in Vegas, but if he can sell in, I mean, he's already sold in the West. So, to me, that's a Vegas fight, and, you know, you go full VIP. You go full VIP with it. You have to, just because, again, the people it attracts. The people it attracts. Regardless.
What does, like, full VIP mean?
Red carpet, you know, bottle service, table side, you know.
Has this been done before?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah. Well, who gets that sort of treatment?
What you mean, who gets that sort of treatment?
Where they do bottle service for fights.
In Atlanta.
Okay. Well, you talking about where we was at.
Yeah.
Bro,
but that's what I'm saying. Eddie, for Canelo, when he fought in Miami, he brought the couches out. He brought the VIP table size service. The only thing they wasn't doing was the bottles, but they was bringing you your drinks and they was bringing your food and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just saying, I think that's the type of fight that you should see that from.
Okay. Okay.
So Matt Garcia's in the chat. Says Vegas, Texas, Los Angeles. Ruin of 504 says these guys are never fighting, so who cares? You should make that poll.
I mean, you know, Ruin's just a little bit of a hater. Oh, he's okay. Mad that Lomachenko's out the equation. If Tank acts for the fight, obviously that's a bigger fight than Loma, so he's a bit, you know, sad that Loma won't get a free shot again.
Yo, so Talk Trend says all the rappers in Miami crying laughing face. Al Marino says L.A., Las Vegas, or New York.
Shout out to Arizestro, who just became a champ on YouTube members.
Goodness! Shout out to Era, even though Era's picking George.
Arizestro?
Wow. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Counterpunch, CYP.
What's up?
What up?
Yeah, I got some controversy to spew. I don't believe that there will be a second fight for Undisputed. There could be a second fight. The contract has a rematch. It doesn't say a rematch for Undisputed. So everybody's saying, oh, he's going to have to fight to the contract. Yeah, you're right. Not for Undisputed, though.
Yeah.
If you don't even got to fight him. Yeah. Hey, listen to me. I don't believe it's happening. If Tank say, you know what, I want that fight, trust me, Tank gonna get that fight. Lomachenko will be the other mandatory, but he's already promised it, so he might just chill and just go ahead and wait. But Tank is the eyeball. I can guarantee you, if Tank say he want that fight next, ain't nobody gonna see no Devin Haney versus no Kambosos 2 in no goddamn Australia. Ain't nobody doing that. Reason why I say that is, who does Kambosos think he is? Boy, you don't make enough money to be paying step aside money to no Tank. Tank make more than you. See, step aside money come from stars. You ain't a star. I don't know what you even thought putting together no contract like that. But we going to see. We going to see. The Oracle has spoken. I believe it doesn't happen.
CYP out. CYP.
Go ahead.
Dev going to make it look too nice, bro. They ain't going to want to do it twice.
Yeah, I believe that. I'm with you on that shit.
Appreciate the call,
hear
bro.
You. Hear you, hear you. I'm gone.
Hey, man, we got almost 600.
Tank would be mandatory.
Almost 600 people, over 600 people now watching. Only 100 likes, man. What y'all doing? Smash the like button. Make sure you're subscribed. You know, obviously, you're appreciating and enjoying the content that we're providing. So please, you know, help support and help grow this channel.
Yes, sir. I forgot what I was going to ask
Tank,
you.
Mandatory.
Yes, he's the mandatory now. Right? Like, if he wins this fight.
Yeah, for the BA.
He's the WBA mandatory.
Correct, correct, correct.
So I get what CYP is saying about step-aside money and having to now pay Tank or Loma money not to particularly want their shot at those belts. So, interesting.
You saying he was back in the gym last night? Speaking of the lightweight division,
who?
Even though I'm pretty sure he's moved up, Teofimo Lopez.
Oh yes, and you see what Jimmy was at?
Who?
You seen what Jimmy?
Yeah, I knew that. He texted, not he, but Frank texted.
Yeah.
He told me.
And what happened? You was like, I don't care.
I mean, the man's called me a dick rider. You think it's gonna be? Yeah, come on into the gym.
I mean, why you don't just show up?
Nah, they it was a private workout.
I mean, not if you got the text. I want to show up.
I mean, I got the text for Canelo, but that for sure was a private workout.
I want to show up. I can't wait to have a Paulie Malignaggi type debate with TOS. Let him try to tell me he was undisputed. It's going to be on. I'm going to have some fun with his ass.
Man, we ain't going to do that. We ain't going to do that. Yo, but 7 o'clock guest, Christian Thun.
Yes. He's actually leaving back to Miami for his fight. He held camp out here. So he's wrapping up, and we wanted to get him in studio, obviously, before he skedaddles.
Yo, obviously, they're keeping him really busy with this new deal and whatnot. Yep. And I remember we were talking to him. I'm like, bro, if you're doing camp out here, why not just move out here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can get you a hotel for your fights out there. Like, and he's like, nah. He's like, the life out there is just way better. I'm like, bro, you talk about sitting in traffic and blah, blah, blah. What do y'all see in Florida, man?
No traffic.
Well, you're not in Miami. Obviously, he's in Miami, so.
Is he in Miami,
Aventura,
Miami?
Aventura. Aventura's popping, though. Aventura's popping for sure. I'll let you read that super chat, Tim.
$20 fat super chat from Era Zestro that says, heavy on George whooping Haney for a 12 even. What is that? Is that fuck out of here? No. What's FOT? But maybe he says for some gear for the fight night?
Oh, even for some gear for fight night.
Oh. So what, he want to bet you? He trying to bet you gear?
I don't know.
Also, it's pretty odd. People say Cambosos is only getting big money because of Haney, as if Haney brings in a large sum of money for other opponents. Or for the opponents.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Jojo's highest payday?
Haney.
Lignata's highest payday?
Haney.
Gamboa?
Is Gamboa in that list? Because he fought Crawford on HBO.
Let's see how much he making in that.
And he was the A-side in that fight.
He was the A-side? Damn, Lonnie, remember that.
What? Woo! Yeah, he was the A-side. That's why Crawford fans get mad, because there was people that thought Crawford wouldn't beat him. But it's like, come on, bro. If you watch boxing, you knew Chinny Chin Chin couldn't stay up. Hit that thumbs up button if you haven't already done so. I just did. I made it from 180 to 181. You can do the same. You can tell a friend to get ahead and subscribe. We have definitely reached our goal of 141,000, but it's on to the next one, on to the next one. So we're going to do it nice and slow. We're going to go 1415. 1415. I know Danny likes to reach for the stars. I like little goals so we can celebrate every day. So we only want to get to 141,000 500. Right now we're on 141,090. So we need about 10 more people to get us almost there.
Nah, my next goal is 150. I told you that.
150 what?
150.
K's?
Yeah, 150,000.
Damn. You be shooting the stars,
man. I said by the end of July.
You be shooting for the stars,
man.
Ain't
for the moon, baby. Ain't for the moon.
I hear you, man. I hear you. So I'm going to go ahead and open up these phone lines. Once again, we're talking Gervonta Tank Davis versus Rolly Romero. Obviously, it is fight week. He was interviewed by Last Stand Podcast, Brian Custer. And obviously, Brian Custer, you know, played some audio for, or rather read
some
a
quote.
Yes, he read a quote for him pertaining to his, I guess, decision to either stay with Floyd or not stay with Floyd.
Devin Haney said, quote, "If you don't care to go and make the big fights happen, what's the point of even leaving your current situation? Might as well stay there and be loyal to Floyd." What do you think about that?
He's an email champ. You can't, he's an email champ. He's fighting because somebody mailed him the belt. How is that? Did that ever happen in boxing before? And he's talking crazy. And he still got, like, come on. So when you, if you win, you said all that. If you win, I'm not out of my contract. Let's make the fight happen since you want to talk crazy. Let's do that. I want to fight you if you win. Devin Haney.
You know, he picked Devin. He said, when you, if you... You know what I'm saying? So he was going to say, when you win. And then he like, let me not shoot
him.
Oh,
he changed it. I ain't even catch that.
What?
I ain't catch
that. Yeah. And so he's like, let me not give him no bell. You know what I'm saying? Watch.
Devin Haney said, quote,
mailed him the bell. How is that? Did that ever happen in boxing before? And he's talking crazy. And he still got, like, come on. So when you, if you win,
see?
You said all that.
So you when win. You, if you win, you know what I'm saying? And he was about to say, and he still got a fight, but he know in his heart of hearts, Devin about to whoop Camboso. So he, even, if you go back to that right here, look.
How is that? Did that ever happen in boxing anymore? And he's talking crazy. And
look,
he still got a fight.
Look, and he still got a, so he, come on, we don't got, we can finish that. And he still got a fight, George, but he know what's going to happen.
Because after that was when, if you win, you know, so.
And he's talking crazy. And he still got, like, come on. So when you, if you win, you said all that. If you win, I'm not out of my contract. Let's make the fight happen since you want to talk crazy. Let's do that. I want to fight you if you win. Devin Haney.
Well, that's the fight I've been wanting. I'm shocked. You know what I'm saying? Have we been here before? I know Devin's called out Tank. But Tank's, he rarely acknowledges people. The only one he's ever acknowledged really is Ryan Garcia. You're the almanac. Has he ever said me and Devin can fight?
Let me tell you, I was in Los Angeles. I actually got a picture somewhere. I remember them saying that's a fight. It's, I'm pretty sure it's on our channel.
Mm.
That's a fight that was going to happen one day.
So Tank told you this?
No, they were side by side on camera.
Okay.
Because they was like, nah, ain't no beef. Ain't no beef. Here, I'm gonna pull up. I'm going to pull up, because I know I got shit from that day.
All right. All right. So, well, while he does that, don't forget you can smash the thumbs up button. I am going to open up these phone lines. Who is on Discord?
We have El Terraplanista.
Okay. Cuba.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Subscribe to youtube.com/theboxingvoice for the latest and greatest interviews with your favorite fighters.
What's up, Cuba?
Bro, yo, I can't believe this Tank guy, man. This dude won't even make it out the first round, and he's talking about when he makes it out the fight, who he gonna fight. That's just hilarious, man. But that guy's all the way up. Did you see in that same interview how they asked him, yo, according to you, not anybody else, where do you think you are in the pound for pound list? And I saw this guy sit there and say, top 10. And then he took a long pause and said, like, no. I know. And he said top 5. Then he took a long pause. I thought he was going to say top 3. And then he said, no, top 10. Bro, this guy's all the way up, man. He has such little self-believing himself, man. Hilarious. I can't wait to see him get knocked out in the first round. He's talking about he's going to fight Haney after. He may not even make it out of the Cambosos fight. That's another one, bro. Just watch this. It's gonna about to get funny in here.
So you're saying,
anyways, I'm done.
So you're saying Rolly first round and you're picking Cambosos?
Yeah, bro. I'm picking Cambosos to win. These guys are funny, man. These guys are clowns, bro. They're probably neither of them is gonna make it to the next fight, and they're already talking about where they're gonna fight.
Alright, bro. We'll see. Cause you're the funny one. You sound like the funny one here.
Bro, you'll see. Raleigh's about to make it all funny for all you people, man. You better put money on Raleigh so you can laugh with me.
Alright.
Okay, take care, guys.
All right, Alex. Well, thank you for calling in. Looks like we have our first guest in the building. Heavyweight Christian Thun is in the building. And obviously, he's going to be headed to Miami or Florida, right? I know it's same place in state, but two
Plant
different
City,
cities.
Plant City.
Oh, he's fighting Plant City?
Pro Box, right?
Well, remember that they're not using that facility anymore. They got, like, casino deals now.
Oh, that's right. Where's that at? Let me see.
We'll be finding out as I pull up this question. You can go ahead and get him in and bring him in, and let's get this thing started and talk some boxing with heavyweight Christian Thun. We do want to ask him about his time spent with Sugar Hill, man. I know once or twice he's done some work with Sugar Hill. So I want to ask about that. And I'm going to be posting the link to the post to ask Christian any questions if you guys want to ask him any. Right now.
What's up, brother? What's up, brother? How you doing? Good, good. How you doing? Good to see you, bro.
Jesus. Getting old.
Man, you and me both. You and me both.
So this guy was just talking about how you said that you would prefer to stay in Miami living because of the other one.
The other one.
No. I mean, it was flipped.
Oh, you flipped. All right.
It's still...
Help him out, Danny.
Come on, is it big enough?
It's definitely big enough.
Oh,
good.
Yeah,
you can just
okay.
It.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you.
So, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
You got your coffee?
I got my coffee.
So, when do you head back to Florida?
I head back to, tomorrow to California and on Saturday to Florida.
Oh, okay. So, because you want a straight shot.
Yeah, yes, also that, but also I'm just going to go to see some friends and do like a little bit of training. Well, friends, see, you know, boxing friends, see my manager, hang out there. I actually just came back last night from California.
Oh.
I was there for the weekend, and the plans changed over the weekend. I was supposed to stay here until like two and a half more weeks or something. And then we just decided to go back, basically finish off camp there because my coach is in Florida now as well. He had to go, you know, he had his daughter's birthday and a couple other things going on.
Okay.
So we decided to essentially go back now.
Wow.
Finish off.
So before we get into you, we want to ask you about this weekend's big fight. Obviously, Gervonta Tank Davis and Rolly Romero, you training here in Las Vegas. Have you ever encountered either of the men?
Yeah. I've seen both, actually. Well, I've seen Rolly Romero here a couple of weeks ago training at City Boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And Gervonta, I've seen him here a few years ago training. I don't really watch, believe it or not, I don't watch too much boxing, but when Gervonta fights, I do watch him because he's just, like, incredible.
Yeah.
I love his explosivity, and I remember once.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm destroying your equipment. There you go. And the moment I really fell in love with Gervonta, it might be a little bit of a strange moment, I guess, to really like him a lot was, I remember it was during, I don't remember during which fight it was, but his coach told him in the corner, penitentiary.
Oh, yeah.
And he went like, that's my guy. You could see him going, like really, you could see him getting mad, you know?
Yeah.
This was just like really hilarious.
Isn't that when he said something like, stick him, stab him like you were the penitentiary?
Yeah. This was just legendary. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So you're going to go finish camp down there. So when actually is the fight once
July
again?
July 9th.
July. Oh, wow. So you're leaving early. Whole month.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, we could fight already like in a couple of days, really, you know.
Mm.
Like we've sparred a lot. We've run a lot. We've done everything. So it was good to tune down a little bit over the weekend. Still done a little bit of running. And I'm going to keep it a little bit down today as well. I'm going to go do a bit of shadow box and then do some conditioning later. I train here at this gym called Phase One.
Oh, yeah, the strength and conditioning gym.
Yeah, with a gentleman called Reggie. He really takes strength and conditioning to the next level.
Yeah,
the knowledge and the machinery also, both they go hand in hand to really make things happen.
That's where Devin does the strength and conditioning at.
Exactly.
A lot of fighters and NFL players, NBA players, they go there for strength and conditioning.
Really,
speaking
really
of Devin, he's actually one of our topics, but you didn't give me a prediction, or do you want to stay away? And I understand.
No, I think he, I mean, Australia's.
Well, no, I mean Tank Rowley.
Oh, Tank. I mean, Tank should do it. You know what? I've never really seen Rowley fight.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's really big. I think he walks around like 185 or something.
Wow.
I think, I don't know, I might be completely wrong, but
yeah.
I mean, I've seen him. He's big, and I've seen Tank too. He ain't that big. So, I mean, he's going to have arguably the size advantage, maybe even disadvantage, because he's going to have to come in really low and drain, maybe, in terms of weight. I mean, I think Gervonta probably stoppage late round, something like this. You know what I can see? You know what I can see happening? I can see something similar, like against, what's his name? The earthquake, the Terremoto.
Leo.
Leo.
Yeah, bam.
Where he counters them and just puts them to sleep.
I can see him overreaching with a right hand type of thing and then just getting countered by like a massive southpaw left uppercut. So like,
wow.
I can see him overreaching and just getting caught up with things, really. This is what I would think.
Okay.
So,
have you ever been to a Gervonta fight in person?
No. Actually, I haven't.
The only reason I asked, because you said you don't really watch boxing, but you'll watch him. So I was just curious if you because his fights in person are something else.
Yeah.
You know, are you single?
No.
Okay.
Oh, man, why did I think about it?
He said, why did I think about it?
All right, never mind. Moving forward. Carry on. So, so Gervonta this weekend against Ro.
Well, actually, Gervonta, the reason we're talking about him is he sat down and did an interview with
Brian Custer.
And Custer let him know, you know, some things that Haney might have said. So now he's called out Haney. He said, fine, I'll win this fight. You win that fight in Australia, and then we can fight.
Yeah,
so
great fight.
I guess the question is, do you believe Haney can beat George in Australia?
I think Haney should outbox George Kambosos. I think this is what I can see happening. We're going to have to see now how clear he's going to outbox him and how the judges are going to see the rounds. I mean, to win a fight in Australia is like to win a fight in Germany.
Mm.
Quite hard as a outside fighter.
Tyson Fury did it.
So yeah, Tyson Fury done it exactly. So no, I think he's gonna win. You know, Kambosos, I think he's very strong and tough and stuff. But I think he's just not at the same boxing level that Devin Haney is. Although, you know, Devin Haney also, he's big as well. Like he's big and he's gonna have to go down in weight to make that weight.
Yeah.
He's a big 35, yeah.
Right, the travel and all these things, you know, I hope that all that is going to work out for. I don't really care who. I would like Haney to win the fight because I would love to see Haney against Tank. Other than that, I would also be happy for George to win the fight. So far, he's come up the hard way. It's good to see fighters like that too, especially in their hometown. Although, Haney has the potential to really be one of the next pay-per-view superstar, so it'll also be good for him to continue his journey. So in boxing, we would get another superstar.
I think one could say that Haney's got it harder than Kambosos. He started his career in Mexico, and you know they had a fight in bars and little club shows in Mexico. So that's going to be
actually
a good one.
Actually, I have a question
mm-hmm.
to you guys, and maybe to the public watching. I heard that there was one fight in Mexico that he actually should have lost. And I remember who said it. Maybe even Rowley might have said it. Somebody said there's one fight that the tape has gone missing. And
tape's gone missing.
I don't know what happened, but maybe he got something happened there. And it was something that the people were talking about it.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that. Have you heard something about that, Ness?
No.
Yeah.
No. I don't know as well. It might just have been a complete fluke by somebody saying that, you know, he lost or whatever. But but it's true actually. He also came up the the hard way to put it. So I've seen Devin Haney the first time in 2012 in London. He came to London to train at the Pico Gym where I used to fight out of as an amateur. And yeah, I remember him there with his father. It was during the London Olympics. And the gym was next to the Excel Center where the Olympics were held. Mm-hmm. And he came there and he was sparring with this young guy. I don't know if you've heard of him ever. His name is Otto Sava. Otto Sava. Or Junior Benjamin Sava. He had various names. He used to train with this coach called Tunde Ajayi. And he's now the coach of Anthony Yard, light heavyweight from England.
Okay.
Anyhow, and this Otto Sava was
supposed ain't that your boy?
Who?
Yard's trainer?
Yeah, Tunde Ajayi.
Tunde Ajayi, yeah. Otto Sava.
So you said that was his trainer?
No. That was a coach of this particular Otto Sava who used to spar back in the day with Devin Haney.
Haney,
Otto Sava, they were both, you know, said to be like the next Mayweather type of thing.
Oh.
Both of them. Then Otto Sava came to America to debut on the, I believe, Mayweather, Robert Guerrero undercard or something, and he's failed his medical, and since then he hasn't been boxing. And his whole career pretty much stalled by this medical, failed medical. So it's a bit of a shame, but I remember him. He was training in the same gym.
And you said that was in 2012 when you saw him in Devon's bar?
2012, yeah.
Holy hell.
Well, he came to America maybe in 2014.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think, 2012, yeah. So...
10 years ago, believe it or not.
Yeah, so I'm saying Devin was 13.
Something like that, yeah.
He's 23 now, so, yeah. And yeah, so he was 13. Holy crap, that's crazy.
So, Christian, I can't find the name of the person that you're going to fight. I only see your last fight.
Yeah, to be honest, I forgot the name of the gentleman who I'm fighting. He is a guy from Florida. He's like 15-5 or something like that. He's durable. He's fought a couple of prospects like Zhile Zhang and a few others.
Okay.
He is the guy, actually, you're going to know him now. He's the guy that walked out the ring when he was supposed to fight Efa Jaguar.
No way! They're giving him another fight?
Yeah, well, he's fought 4 or 5 times to them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's that guy.
I'm shocked that someone has took the chance on
right,
him.
Right, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's...
You think he walks out?
I don't think so.
Well, I think, wasn't it the thing with Ajaba that he killed somebody in the ring?
I don't know about that.
No, it was an issue about payments.
Oh, payment.
Probably they agreed on, I don't know, a certain amount of money per round, and then just like the day before, they said, hey, listen, we got to cut you down here. And then he was like, no. And then, I mean, I don't know the details, but I'm pretty sure it was something like that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. No, but since then, I mean, he's fought since then.
Okay.
So
okay.
I think he'll be staying in the ring.
Well, and I know one big thing for you this year is staying busy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So
I got that audio pulled up.
For all right, go ahead.
Yep.
Wait. What is this?
I fucked up.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, this one, yeah.
He said, when I say penitentiary, I need you to poke him in the side.
Oh, that was funny. Stab the body.
Yeah.
Stab the body. Oh, man.
So that's interesting, man. You're going to be fighting that guy.
Yeah, activity is really key this year to just... I'm supposed to fight 4 more times this year.
Oh, wow.
So, and then...
So, including that fight?
Yeah.
Okay.
4 more times, yeah. So, we're going to... I mean, it might be 4 more times in January or something, I guess, but maybe even until the end of the year. We're just going to really stay busy, as busy as we can. Really.
Nice.
This is the main thing of my current situation. You know,
right.
Everything is set in place. The training, everything
is
done, you know. Before, you know, there was things where I had to relocate and visa issues and this and that and Nigeria. Now everything has been sorted. The path has been laid out. We just have to walk it.
For sure. So tell me about the time you spent with Sugar Hill.
Yeah. So it all started. We met. Hang on. What did we mean? We actually met here in Vegas. I walked into Tyson Fury at the Wynn Hotel.
Curtis Harper.
Yeah, Curtis Harper.
Yep, okay.
That's his name.
Yeah. So I met him here in Vegas, and then finding out about the coincidence, he came with Tyson back to Florida. Just to have like a 2-3 week or probably like a 10-day training camp before Tyson was supposed to fight AJ back then. But then the whole Deontay Wilder thing, arbitrary thing happened or whatever, and then, you know, it changed. Anyhow, so, we went to Florida and then we came back into Vegas and I was sparring with Tyson for the Deontay camp. And then it turns out everybody got COVID. Tyson had COVID, my coach, he said COVID, everybody had COVID.
Mm.
And the only ones who didn't get COVID were me and Sugar for some reason.
Wow.
He must be immune to everything. and then, you know, he just said, yeah, just come down to the gym and we just work out. So then we spent 2 weeks here in boiling hot ogres in the top room. It was absolutely unbearable.
Did they have the gate open or they just try to put the AC on?
They had the gate open, no AC on.
Oh, my God.
1:30 in the gym.
1:30.
Yeah. 1:30 in the gym. It was really incredibly warm. It was just like
wow.
And then, you know, we started to work there. And Sugar, he really he saw a lot of flaws in me, which he tried to correct. And, you know, these were only maybe 2 weeks that we spent here together. Then we spent some more time in Florida together. I think the entire month of January and February. He came to Florida again, and we've done some work together. And my coach really likes his style of training and what he teaches, so it all gelled really well. I could say that Coach Mick might be somewhat of a learning from him too. We're both students in this stage, and he just added some things to my game which were really quite interesting. You know, details like with other coaches, he might be punching the bag and slamming the bag for, you know, many rounds. That with him, you might do maybe 30 minutes just working on your one stance. By the way, you don't move. You just stay there.
Right.
And then, you know, you might work. He breaks you down. It's funny because when I was training with him, I said to myself, man, like he makes me feel like I didn't know anything. Everything I was doing was, I would be wrong. And I was feeling a little bit like, oh, damn, like what's going on? And then it's funny because Tyson, after the Dillian White fight, he said at the press conference, Sugar's the only guy, by the way, Tyson, a world champion, not an 8-fight.
Right.
A world champion. Arguably the best fighter in the world, or top 3, 4, 5 in the world right now. He said, Sugar's the only guy that can make me feel like I don't know anything. And when I started to train with him, he broke me down. I was there and I felt like an absolute novice. I felt like a white collar fighter or something, like he didn't know anything.
Yeah.
I mean, but then, you know, they broke everything down and they built him back up. And this is how I felt during the stage. And we didn't really have the time to build me up according to his game plan. But still, I still absorbed like a sponge as much as I could.
Right.
And this was very interesting to see his perspective of thing. You know, a lot of it is it's the famous Kronk style. Not Carl, but he wants his fighters to keep his back here, kind of like up, so it's like a spring, and the power comes from there. It's hard to kind of show it sitting down, but you have to imagine your back here, your right foot, like in my case, it's always be up, and when it's loaded, he calls it. And when it's loaded, you have the power to explode with your right hand or even with your jab. So
he wants you on your toes. So you can spring.
Right. But also here, there's a certain dynamic to how he wants on your toes,
gotcha.
Especially on your back leg. Not really on your front leg. He wants a little bit, I guess, bouncy, but the back leg really has to be cocked all the time. He calls it loaded. And once you get that loaded type of fear, you really realize what he means.
So you believe he can make people into punchers? Because no one believed that Fury was a puncher until he got with Sugar Hill.
Okay. For sure. He has the style to develop fighters which are not really used to being punchers into being a puncher. However, I also think that the fighter also needs to have this Gervonta, like we've seen here, to really be a puncher, a finisher, rather, you know. You need to have that spitefulness in you to really have that. Some fighters are just, like, for example, a fighter whom I really like to watch, actually, Malik Scott, the Rolls Royce of heavyweight boxing. He's had many things.
Yeah.
But he didn't have that spitefulness that Gervonta had.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really crazy because I can punch hard. But for example, when recently I was just angry, and especially during the round, my coach made me really angry. And the bombs I was throwing because of the spitefulness, if there would have been a test machine or something there, power went up to 40%. Everybody was like, wow, what's this guy on about? Like, what happened to this guy? I was really so mad. And the power, everything just worked. And the spitefulness, I think, really helps to of course, with technique and with timing, with all the other things that you need in boxing, really helps to knock people out.
For sure. Well, we got a few questions from the people. Ruin of 504, which is New Orleans, he says, congrats on the last win. Do you still plan to stay busy in 2022?
Yes, of course I do. Thank you for your question. Activity is the key this particular year, to really be active for once. And I was just speaking yesterday, if I'm going to have 6 fights this year, I'm going to have as many fights as I had in 1 year, that in my 2.5 years of my pro career.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty nice fear. And of course, for a fighter, as you know, the training camp, everything, it might be hard, but then when you win and you feel good, and you, like, one fight is like a done chapter. Even if the fight was only one round, you leave the fight with so much knowledge. It's like a building block, and you need those building blocks to really develop. So, yes, very busy.
So, when you say 6 fights this year, you're counting the March fight?
Actually, you know what? I'm counting the November and the March fight.
Okay.
So, it's 4 more. With this year, I mean contractual year.
Yep.
We started in November.
Okay.
So, we're going to have 4 more fights until November, December, whatever.
All right. Yeah. I have James Valdez, San Antonio, Texas, says, what's your thoughts on Jared Anderson? Can he contend with the current belt holders?
Yes, I've sparred Jared Anderson. I think he's really good. He's really talented.
Did he bring that spitefulness out of you?
Yes.
Because I hear he talks while he spars. No trash talk?
No. I mean, I don't really recall him talking. But, you know, we definitely had couple of good spars at the top rank gym, like proper tear-offs. And
how many rounds straight?
Tyson Fury was there too, probably 6, something like this.
Wow.
I don't remember how many rounds we've done, but we've done a few.
And he's a lot smaller than you, right?
He's a lot smaller than me, yeah. He's a small heavyweight, but very good. And I remember once Tyson Fury, he was there as well, and we really landed some bombs on each other. And Tyson, he like jumped up, and it was a very entertaining spar for everybody involved. Me included.
Yeah,
he was a really he's a very talented fighter. His size, I wouldn't really say plays against him because he uses his size. I don't want to say disadvantage, but his size well.
Yeah,
he comes forward and, you know, he counters and he's very active. He's very athletic, which, you know, many big fighters are not really athletic at all.
Yeah,
many heavyweight fighters are so lazy. It's incredible. You couldn't get them out to run even if you'd pay them like cash. They here run each mile $100. Wouldn't do it. Whereas he does it. I do it. And this is, I think, what's going to be the difference between the people who really train hard and you know, put in the work. And, whereas other heavyweights. Yeah.
Tyson Fury, that fight week for the third fight when he fought Deontay, Jared was on the undercard, and Tyson Fury said that Jared would be the next American heavyweight champ. From what you saw in there, would you agree with Tyson?
Yeah, I mean, the next, who else is there? I mean, he definitely has the potential, whether it's next or not next, to be a heavyweight champion of the world. He definitely has it, without a shadow of a doubt. This is for sure thing. You know, we'll have to see now how his development goes on, etc. Actually, I must say that the top-ranked guys are the best in matchmaking fighters. They really are. They really, really are the best, because if you see him till probably his 10th fight, he's fought really low-caliber guys, and then he's maybe 10th or 11th, I don't know how many fights he has, but his last 2 fights, he fought guys with really good records, but also past their not even past, maybe never even reached their true potential. And, you know, these are really good fights, and they're building him up really well. He's got great management, great team. So I think everything is there for him. The platform is there for him to do well, for sure.
He's number 13 in the world already. Well, in America. So in terms of being the next American heavyweight champ, there's only guys that have lost in front of him already. Wilder, Hunter, Martin, Forrest. Stephen Shaw is actually undefeated. You know Stephen Shaw?
Yeah, I spotted him too.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. He's good. I spotted him years ago at the Wilder camp.
Okay, yeah, that's where I met him.
Yeah,
at the Wilder camp.
Yeah.
Trevor Bryan is there. I guess Trevor. He might be a full champion. If he can win, he can possibly become a full champion before Anderson.
Yeah. Right. I mean, these three guys that you've mentioned are probably the ones that would have a shot. Although, you know, who I also like, believe it or not, he's Renaissance, Charles Martin.
Okay.
I like him. I liked, before, like, Joshua, I mean, he got the title with his dubious circumstances, some injury during the fight.
That was on the Deontay Wilder undercard.
Yeah.
Like, this was a bit of a strange situation, or maybe lucky situation, or whatever. Then, you know, he fought Joshua, and Joshua clipped him with a right hand, and this was pretty much everybody fought the same with Charles Martin. And then he came back, and he's had some good fights, and his last fight with Ortiz was also a good fight. He just got caught. And, you know, Ortiz, he might be a little bit older, might be a senior citizen, but he still is a phenomenal counterpunch and boxer. And, you know, he's a very untypical Cuban fighter because he actually trains hard.
Yep.
I know him. I was
he runs.
Management. He runs. He does. He trains to win fights.
Yeah. He's trained with Coach Larry Wade for the last Wilder fight.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, for strength.
They had him running Mount Charleston.
Yeah. Oh, I know that mount very well now.
You run it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I run twice a week, actually. Red Rock Canyon. Mount Charleston. I run it once.
Okay.
I prefer Red Rock, though.
Yeah, because lower elevation.
Is that the thing?
Of course.
Okay. You know what? I like Red Rock Canyon because I think the incline is better. Like, it's harder. Like, my 2 and my 3 are really hard.
Really?
Yeah. Mount Charleston is like a long, straight type of, straight. Like, it's long, but not as...
It's all curves.
It gets curved too, right?
But yeah, it's funny because I get what you're saying, because the first time I went to Mount Charleston, it didn't look like we were going up.
Yeah.
And then when we finished the 5 miles, you look at where you started, and you're like, holy...
Yeah, right.
You know,
it's
but...
like a slow incline.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a slower incline.
Red Rock Canyon, it's... like, you start also slow on the mile 2 and mile 3 are really, really...
But in Red Rock, you're running the road or you're getting on the trail?
I run the road.
Oh, okay.
I run the road.
Though.
Yeah. 5 miles and 7 miles.
Yeah, that's what it is in Mount Charleston, too. It's a road. You know, it's a road and people just throw their hazards on. And there's not many cars going up. So if you're a car coming down, and you'll see them coming. And vice versa, if you're going up and you see somebody with, you'll see them. So.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
I did Red Rock, but it was the trail, and that shit was serious.
Yeah.
One of the hiking trails he did.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. And thank God that they stopped me. They was like, no, that's the novice one to the right. We were about to go to the left to like a 7-mile trail one way. Thank God someone found us. But
running out here in Vegas is great. You know, I run in Florida. On Biscayne Boulevard, you know, like on the high street, pretty much. It's nothing really spectacular, just traffic and cars and whatnot. Whereas here, you know, you run in the mountains, you run outdoors, you really get to soak in a lot of that outdoor atmosphere, which is really so great out here.
I got Dominic.
Hold on, I'm curious because obviously you're in Miami. Do you prefer the atmosphere out there or here? Because obviously there it's humid.
Yeah.
Healthier for your skin, let me tell you, and your hair.
Right. You know what? It's a good question. If I would fight in Vegas, I'd definitely train in Vegas, for sure. Because when I came here my first day, I was already in decent shape. And I was shadow boxing. I said, God damn, why am I so tired? And once again, the altitude, I realized. You really, although it's not much, but you really feel this couple of 100 meters or few thousand feet or whatever, you really feel them. And you need a couple of days to get used to them. It's not like a major thing, but still, if you fight in Vegas, I would definitely
recommend getting acclimated.
Acclimated, maybe even at 2-3 weeks or at least.
Oh wow.
Even when you spar, I remember first time I sparred Tyson Fury in a Top Rank gym, he wasn't even as hot. It was like May type of thing. I came back to the corner after the first round. I've never had such dry throat in my life. It was just so dry. It was, I said, water now. Che, what's going on? I said, give me water. You don't understand the dry, the dryness that I have. So you definitely have to get acclimatized. But
so you don't think that had anything to do with anxiety? Like you're in there with the heavyweight champ of the world.
For sure. I never had such dry throat. And coming from Florida, you're like the complete opposite climate. Yeah. So my body might also be used to something a little bit. Maybe if you come from California, you're somewhat used to 50% Vegas dryness or whatever. But once that you are, you're here, it's different. But once you acclimatize here, Vegas is the best place to train in, to answer your question.
Yeah. I got Dominic in Seattle. He says, congrats on your boxing career, champ. You're a tall man, 6'7", too tall, man. What's the worst, finding shoes or pants that are nice?
Hang on, Dominic from Seattle. Hello, I'm 6'9". So, yeah, I do agree. I am very tall. So, okay, shoes or what?
What's harder to find, pants or shoes?
Good question. I can actually answer very specifically. When I buy pants, mainly, it's not a problem to find a size. The problem is I need to have them put in shape on
your waist.
Top part, yeah, because usually they're very big.
Yeah.
On top part. And my waist, believe it or not, is, well, I wouldn't say small, but it's somewhat smaller.
What waist are you in American?
I think jean size 58.
That's not American.
Yeah,
that is not American.
It should be. It should be like
36, 34, 38,
42.
Whoa.
Yeah, if you're,
he better not be 42.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
He can't be 42.
No, I don't know.
There's no way he's a 42, bro. You kidding me?
I'm just saying, bigger guys could be a 42.
No way. 42. He's got to be heavy.
40, 38.
There's no way he's a 40, bro. He's a boxer, man. You seen Vlad?
What size are you?
I'm like a fucking 36.
Okay. I'm going to be like 38.
Yeah, okay. Bro. You seen Vlad's waist, bro? Vlad was 245 with a six-pack, and he had this little ass waist. Like, it's hard as a boxer. You lose all those love handles where we don't have that.
Right,
we have that. We have that. Right. He doesn't have that.
And you know what? Regarding shoes, it's a little bit of a heartbreak situation because sometimes when I don't even go inside the shop anymore and choose a shoe. I go into the shop and say, pull me out what you have in size 13 and 14. So then I don't get disappointed because then they find a pair of shoes. Oh, wow, look at these. How nice. And they say, oh, sorry, we only have them 11 and 10.
Wait, so you're 13?
I'm a 13, 14, depending on what shoe. Which is actually still all right.
That's your size. Right?
Yeah,
your size.
For you to be 6'9", I thought that was you were like 15, like Johnny Rice.
Yeah.
Johnny Rice is legit Bigfoot. What are those, LeBrons he has?
Yeah, he said he couldn't find like...
those are crazy.
At the time, he couldn't find like boxing shoes.
Yeah.
So he just bought LeBron and he spars in his LeBron.
I know. You know what's funny? I remember... I saw him once in a gym in California, in L.A., and he put on these white boxing shoes that he had. I swear to God, they were like this. I had to look at him. Damn, like, what size do you say? Yeah, well, I don't know, 15, 16 or whatever.
Yeah.
Said, man, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
So shoe size, to answer your question, arguably shoes, because there's so many nice shoes out there, and it's like, oh, they don't have them. But yeah, jeans, I can get pretty much most jeans that I want. Just have to, most of the time when I buy jeans, I need to have them
tailored to fit you. Yeah.
Top, yeah.
That's crazy. That's because you have to buy what, 34 length or 36? What's
you know
your
what?
Length?
You know what? I'm not even
or
sure.
Or is it called inseam? Is it inseam?
Yeah, the inseam. The inseam, so...
Yeah, which would be the length, though.
Right.
In Europe, I have a 58 length. Oh, no, 58 size. I'm going to try and find out...
Conversion?
What that is, yeah.
Yeah, man. Because it was always hard for me. Like, I needed a 34 length. I'm tall. I have long legs. So, you know, if I do 32, they high water.
I'm not... You ever like went to like the big and tall stores and shit like that?
So long ago. You know those were a thing back in the day. Like it's not really a thing anymore.
Austin, I think, found the conversion.
Yeah, so it says you said 58?
Yeah.
So for 58, it's saying in American, that would be 50 to 52.
What?
No way.
Maybe not. Maybe it's just
no
the,
way. His
maybe
waist
just
is
the
just
actual.
Too, is your waist is too small to be a 52?
Oh
America.
No. Okay. Fine. It's 48.
Oh, that's 40. Still huge.
No.
Yeah.
There's no way.
48 in American.
There's no way.
Yo, do we have tape measure?
I know we do. I can go get one.
Yeah,
we're gonna have
one.
To go to the fucking gym and catch you
with
bones.
Go get one. I'm serious. I wanna do this.
There's
shit live
no
on the
way.
Show.
There's no way he's the 48, bro. No way. But in the meantime, we got Miguel that says, "What's your thoughts on the Canelo Bivol fight? And would you recommend Canelo? Excuse me. What would you recommend Canelo to do next?"
It's a good question. I was actually there and I was actually ringside, and what I noticed two things. I was there, so I could see his punches live happening there.
I thought you had like an actual, like, measure that, you know.
What is it, a measuring tape?
Right.
No.
About to roll.
He wants
like
Christian to cut his skin.
Oh, all right. Oh, man. All right.
Yo, this guy heard Cutty Skinny came with the BTS camera.
What were the two things that you noticed being ringside at the fight?
So Canelo's, his power didn't seem to have too much steam behind him,
mm-hmm.
which for it was my first time seeing him live, and I was like there, like meters away, and like the first couple of rounds seemed to have some sort of steam. I think it's for two reasons. One, first reason is, Bivol obviously is a big man, so he could absorb the shots. And two, people might hate me for this now, is I think because he was his first camp as a vegan. Which, once again, I'm pretty sure that, you know, for some people it works, for some not, for me it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I have to eat meat, I have to eat beef. For me, when I eat beef, not chicken, not lamb, not pork, none of that. When I eat beef, I feel stronger. Like, literally, I need to eat beef. When I eat beef, I know that I can go and I can lift, and I'm just a beast of a man. But when I eat, beans and salad and all that, I can't do anything, for Christ's sake. And I'm not sure what he was eating, but if you're vegan, I'm pretty sure that you're going to be eating
a lot of beans
and all this stuff. And I'm like, this stuff just is probably great for certain type of sporting activities. But for this like explosive endurance sport that we are in boxing, I'm not sure if that's the best. As a matter of fact, I spoke with many dietitians, and they even told me carbs like pasta and stuff are, of course, somewhat important. But the main thing you want to eat is beef and even the fat of beef to really get that explosive, lasting energy.
You know, it's funny because Timothy Bradley used to go vegan,
right.
But he never had power, so
David
you might be right.
The haymaker too in England.
Oh, David Hay.
David Hay.
Yeah, but he had
injuries.
Power.
He's had injuries. As far as I can recall, he's only injured. And so many like other in Europe, so many athletes are vegan now, and they're talking of this huge change in energy and all this. Like, I'm not sure if I would be vegan, what kind of newfound energy would I find? But I'm already pretty energetic. I guess sometimes you might be a little bit. You know how it is. You might get sluggish during the day or so, but I don't think that it's this newfound elixir of usefulness and energy and whatnot.
Can I get a quick screenshot? This is a picture from that day when they met in L.A. Devin must have been, that was 4 years ago. So he was 19 in that picture.
Who you mean? Tank?
Yeah, because I guess that's when they had like their little back and forth talking about their sparring, and so they're like, "No,
Truck don't even look like he aged."
No, he looked the same.
Yeah.
But they're like, "No, it ain't no beef to fight."
And
don't
I told you,
Tank
ain't have no mustache, bro. Look at his face there.
He got a little.
He
bit
got
right
his
there.
Mustache super thick now.
Yeah. He got two kids.
He's
now.
Looking Latino now with that mustache.
At this point, his daughter was. 1 week old, so
wow.
he got two kids now, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, we're good, Austin. Thank you. Yeah.
Look how big he is compared to Gervonta.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, he's a big boy.
Big lightweight.
Big lightweight, yeah. Let's see how long he's going to be able to stay in that.
You know, there were rumors of him struggling to make weight two or three fights ago, but since then, I want to say since Linares, like he personally came up to me for the Linares fight week, and he's like, "Ness, am I struggling? Do I look like I struggle?" So then after that, he made the Joseph Diaz weight.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think like some fighters struggled in the bubbles. He was just a fighter that, you know, and he was coming off that injury too. Remember, he had that
shoulder.
Yeah, it was a year-long layoff. He had a shoulder surgery and whatnot. So for the Gamboa fight, but, you know, that was a bubble fight, you know, year-long layoff, whatever. But, yeah, no, he looked good the last two. He has seemed fine. I guess we'll see how the adjustment in Australia has been.
Yeah.
They didn't allow his father and his trainer entry. So he's out there without his head trainer and his second, because they didn't allow Ben Davidson to enter the country either.
Oh, wow.
So,
like for many Europeans, a problem to enter the United States too, because they're very strict with if you've had any sort of criminal record. I mean, I wouldn't say major, but if you have any sort of criminal record that has some, it could have, you know, like drug dealing or maybe some assault training. I'm not sure to what extent, but it's many European trainers cannot come, like John Fury, Tyson Fury's father.
Yeah, and Martin Murray, he could never make it.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but you know what? I guess this can also, depends how he takes it. I hope he takes it as extra motivation, inspiration to somewhat, you know, get it done.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be huge, you know, for getting it done would be huge
regardless.
But now, you know, given the circumstances, you know, be undisputed at 23 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, on foreign soil.
Right.
You go to their backyard, so.
Right. Yeah.
So.
All right, I got some more here. Next one is from The Best Dad Ever. He says, glad you see the greatness in Tank. Good luck on your future.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, Tank is just a monster of a man. He really is. I really like these spiteful fighters. I really like when they bring in that you know, the charisma that they have to really want to hurt someone. Just what we're watching there. The herd business.
Good job, man.
You know, this is research.
I got
this. This is a Tank video. We got Coach Myers. Which heavyweight gave you the most difficulty in sparring, AJ Fury or Wilder, since you shared the ring with all three?
Fury. And the fact is, because Fury is really, I would describe all three now in a nutshell. And I'll start with Deontay. Deontay, he has actually a quite sharp jab. It's like a flicky jab, and he's really good at setting up his right hand. And then his right hand is very good. He's good at setting it up and at actually throwing it. And obviously, you have to avoid that. But apart from that, he's somewhat hittable, I guess, like we've seen in other fights. AJ, he's really good in all aspects, but maybe not great in all aspects. You can also hit him, and you know he really does when he lands something, he really does throw some bombs that you really have to watch out. As soon as you connect with something, I come back with right uppercut, left hook, right hook, left hook, right hook, left uppercut, right. So you really have to watch out for that. Whereas Tyson Fury is just so hard to hit. It's just that's like the main thing. It's hard to catch. He, you know, like you be trying to do everything. If you hit him, just leans back, flick, catches you. Lean back, flick. And just keep getting touched somehow. And you're like, damn, what should I do? And it feels like, you know.
But what about the body?
Yeah, sure, you can hit the body, but I tell you one thing. I mean, you guys must have seen the videos of him just walking forward like this, and have guys like on his body. So I guess, of course, this is effective to some. At least you touch some. When I spar him, I try to aim here, and then hopefully land something here. But yeah, Tyson is, I would say, the most frustrating to fight or spar, because it's so hard to land something. It make you feel silly. It's overreach. He lean back and he flick you with maybe a southpaw jab. Pop, pop. So, yeah.
Crazy.
Mm.
Did you ever spar Cassius Chaney? Because you spent time in Florida.
Cassius Chaney, no, I never sparred him, but I do know him really well. We were both in L.A. sparring with Gerald Washington for the Helenius fight.
Okay.
And he's my guy, Cassius. If you happen to watch this, what's up?
So being in Florida, because he shared, I mean, he was there, what, a year or maybe more in Castillo's gym over there with Lewis.
Yeah. He, you know what? The shame. we never really sparred. I never even sparred with Ortiz before I even moved to Miami.
Oh, so since living there, you haven't?
Since living there, I actually haven't. It's actually a funny story because just before the pandemic hit, I mean, I'm talking like 5th of March, just before the world was closed, before America was closing, I actually went to the gym down there to try and train with the coach Herman. What was his name? Herman, right? Yeah. Coach
Herman Castillo?
Yeah.
Herman Castillo.
Yeah.
And I really liked his training. And I said, man, you know what? I might actually start training here. There were two things. It was quite far from where I was because I was like up north more or less. So it was a little bit, you know, like a little bit of a drive, which I would have done. But literally days after me, two or three days after, everything closed. So then, you know, pandemic hit and then everybody kind of like stayed home. And then, you know, we all stayed home for like a month and then it just all kind of evaporated. And then I just stayed with, like then my coach. I was not a coach and the coach I had here.
Okay.
And then a year ago, well, a little bit more than a year ago, it was funny because I was with AJ in England. And I was there for, it was supposed to be somewhat of a, it was in February a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be, I think, some sort of pre-camp for the Tyson Fury fight. So they told me, come in, you're tall, let's do some work. Nothing was obviously announced. It was just like off-season work.
Yeah.
So I went there. And then, you know, I really saw once again how a champion should train, how a champion should work. And, you know, I mean, his situation is also a little bit crazy because he had maybe three or four people there. And what we then saw during the Usyk fight, they all told him different things, which he then sort of, or I guess he's sorting out now. I'm not even sure who his coach is going to be now.
Yeah, officially. No one knows.
Really
yeah.
Know. Anyhow, but then I really, I was in a gym back then where the culture was that, you know, like, you do your bag work by yourself, you do a couple, like nothing was really being, things were being taught, but not to the extent that things should be taught to a professional fighter, you know? I think there's always room for improvement, really, and you should every day try to improve, or at least try. And if nobody's trying to teach you something, or if you maybe only get taught something for 2 hours a week, it's not enough. Why don't you get taught 3 hours per day?
Mm-hmm.
And this was also mentality. You need to find somebody and Mick and I, Coach Mick and I, we've done some work together before. He's had to travel a lot because of the situation with his daughter, who she used to live up north in Massachusetts, and he's English, and he was also in Miami, so he was always all over the place. And he grew up in the gyms in London, where I essentially learned boxing. So we already gelled on training thing, training method, well, method on boxing,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically. And then we just started training together. We said, like, are we doing this properly? Or are we just going to train here, there, so now let's do this properly? And since then, we've been like cat and mouse together all the time. He's always chasing me. Let him make.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
We have Alejandro Vega, who says, my fellow South Florida resident, can you explain to Ness and the TBV audience why South Florida is a terrific place to live and visit? Also, what could be said to help big-time boxing events become regular occurrence here? Side note, appreciate you coming into the platform for interviews as I became a fan of you since your last appearance here on The Boxing Voice.
Thank you, Alejandro. Thank you so much. I mean, South Florida is just paradise on earth. I remember when I first came to Miami South Beach, and, you know, I came here, I don't know, a few years ago, on vacation with my back then German girlfriend, and we stayed here. We done all the South Beach things, and you know, it was great. But then I said to myself, man, as a European living in Europe, I can go to Ibiza and have the same sort of party and whatever, this is, you know, this summer holiday type of style. And then I came back and I actually met some friends of mine who actually were born in Florida. They then moved to other places, but they know South Florida really well. And then they showed me, you know, all the things, you know, like the water, the aquatic lifestyle, you know, like the jet skiing, the boating, the sandbars, the little islands, the Aventura Mall, Sunny Isle, Boca Raton. There's so much to South Florida, and I haven't even seen arguably most of it. I've never even been to the Keys, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, me neither.
But, so I mean, there's just so much to it, and I think the main thing, I think South Florida, South Florida in general, it's really all about, like, you have to be on the water. If you're not on the water, you waste 80% of what Florida has to offer. You need to get out on a jet ski, on a pontoon. You need to somewhere be on a paddling board, whatever. You need to be in the water because mm-hmm. there's so much
to do.
To do. You know, like imagine you have a full-blown sandbar right in the city. I mean, the whole of the sandbar is like pretty much in central, I mean, not downtown Miami, but it's well within Miami. It's not like 2 hours out in the ocean. It's there. And then you have all these little islands, which are just as cool and just as nice. So Miami's, and by the way, Formula One was just there. It's a growing city. I think 1.2 million people moved to South Florida during the pandemic. It's a growing city. It's like what LA used to be maybe 10 years ago. Miami is now becoming, it's like the place to be. Formula One is there. They're building a massive ski hall, a couple of soccer clubs there. And to answer your question about how to bring
big fights
back to Florida, so we are really now starting to work to build a profile in Miami and in Southern Florida, especially in Miami. You know, it's going to take some time, of course, and we need to fight and we need to, you know, develop as a fighter. But I really want to build a fan base, a local fan base there. Yeah, I know it's going to take some time. It has to, you know, involve me performing well, but it has to also me being out there and meeting people and you know, just many other things. And I think that many other fighters should also do that. All other Florida fighters should do that because now the bare knuckle scene, funny as it may sound, the bare knuckle scene is getting quite big because they have well-promoted events. And, I think, you know, it's and the fighters fighting in bare knuckle, they are all somewhat local celebrities, I guess we could call them. They're all local celebrities, and like a friend of mine, Luis Baboon Palomino, Peruvian, he used to fight in, I don't know, MMA, I think he fought in the UFC, he fought in all kind of fighting leagues and whatnot, and he's now, I think, he's now trying to be a two-weight bare-knuckle world champ.
Mm.
And the bare-knuckle events are massive. I mean, you have, it's crazy, they're all at the Hard Rock, very well promoted, good events. I've been there. I mean, I don't really like bare knuckle boxing. The fights last like they were all one round fights, and I like boxing. I don't even like MMA as much. I just like pure boxing. But it shows that if events get promoted well, and if you have not only one but few local people, few local stars,
it'll do well.
It'll do well. You know, the fans are there. There's a big
I was telling Ness, I was in Miami when Canelo fought Yoder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And were you there?
When Canelo fought
Yildirim in Miami.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was in February. I came back from England that day.
Okay, so.
With Joshua Khan.
So I was telling him, like, for that fight that Eddie Hearn and Matchroom for the ringside seats had, like, couches, like, VIP.
Yeah.
And I was like, Miami is a perfect city for, like, VIP type you know, thing like that. So hopefully we get more fights like that in Miami.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know what I also think was playing in Miami's favor was that Miami was pretty much open during COVID or like during the later part of COVID, which was good. Now, obviously, everything is open. So I think this unique selling point of Southern Florida has somewhat disappeared. I just really hope that many South Florida-based fighters can somewhat make it to the next level, of course, me included, to then really bring big fights back to
South Florida.
I got Mac and Cheese from right here in Vegas who says, I like your personality. You should come on a show more whenever you're in town. It will help with your popularity as well. Keep up the good work, champ. Looking forward to see your next fight. So no question, just
thank you, Mac and Cheese. I appreciate it. I guess you call yourself Mac and Cheese because you like Mac and Cheese. I love Mac and Cheese. One of the reasons why I'm 6'9" is because I my grandma always made me Mac and Cheese. Italian way. It's, you know, my grandma makes mac and cheese. It's the pasta is boiled in chicken broth.
Oh, wow.
Then, you know,
that's different.
Then you take the pasta out. It's very simple, actually. No baking, no cheddar. Then you put, I mean, a ridiculous amount of butter. I mean, I'm talking probably a stick of butter for a portion. Then you put Parmesan cheese and pecorino cheese. Stir it up and you close it up for a second, have it melt. Pepper and salt.
You said your grandmother, that was your grandmother's way?
Yeah, my grandmother's way.
Okay.
Italian way. But
Italian
the pasta was made in chicken broth.
No, so I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Might have to try that.
Yeah.
I got Dual Ingram in Compton. It says, can you bench 315? If so, how many reps?
No, I cannot. I'm a terrible bench. I can deadlift really good.
You kidding me? You can't bench 315?
No, I cannot.
Not even once?
No, I cannot.
What's your?
No, you never tried it. There's no way you never tried. You never tried it.
I can bench. You know what? I've never tried it. It's
yeah, true. There's no. 315 is not even
I
heavy.
I can bench 280 like five times.
Oh, yeah,
so you could definitely
you could
do 315
once. Yeah. Okay.
At least once. You know what I mean?
But you know, I can pull good. Like my push was never as good. I can pull good.
Yeah.
Deadlift.
So like what? Military press?
I guess I can do this, but I...
He's talking about deadlifts.
Deadlifts.
Yeah. Oh, deadlifts.
Deadlifts, I can do like 275 kg.
Okay.
Kilos. Oh,
kilos, yeah.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot. That's like 600 pounds.
Yeah, 550 pounds, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Something like that, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Deadlifts, I like. Deadlifts, yeah.
How do those help with boxing? Do you do those for training camp, or is that just an exercise you like?
You know what? I haven't deadlifted. Well, I did actually deadlift last week, but just, you know, like lightweight and some like elastic cord.
Yeah.
I guess every now and then when, you know, after a fight or so, I like to do, you know, just like full body trainers to build up a little bit, you know, like the full body. But it's not only to build up, it's to keep it somewhat built.
Right.
And it helps you for camp. It helps to, you know, take, to make your body less injury prone. If you have somewhat of a body that's somewhat structured all over to, you know, endure some sort of proper training. So I like to do, what I do 10 reps, 4 sets. Hang on, I have to think now. So I start with squats, 10-4, not too heavy, but short breaks, like 30 seconds breaks. Straight into 10-4 deadlifts, maybe like 100 kg, maybe like 180 pounds or something, not like super heavy, but very, very quick. Shoulder presses, 10-4s, bench press, 10-4, and bend over rows, 10-4. Mm. This workout is 35 minutes. You're absolutely completely drenched in sweat after, because it's really fast. You train your full body very fast, very quick. So, by the way, it's a great, I would recommend anybody to do this workout. You can do it in any hotel gym. You can do it in any gym, because, you know, all you need technically is actual weights. You can put
dumbbells.
Yeah.
Dumbbells.
Dumbbells. So you can really, it can be done anywhere. And this is a great burner, full body. You train your, it's a great workout, really. But what I really like to do, I really love to train here in Vegas, phase one, the condition. This one of the reasons why I was kind of contemplating to actually stay here. But my boxing coach isn't here, and boxing is obviously a key thing which we have to train. So I'm going back. But anyhow, the training at phase one with Coach Reggie is really the missing link, was a missing link in our camp. Not many heavyweights do this. Only, I would say, the top heavyweights. Only the top fighters do what we do there. The knowledge that he has, but also the equipment that he has. Both things hand in hand. That just works so good.
I got facility.
Walt in South Florida with a $20 super chat says, Super Bowls, Formula One race, and Miami is where it's at. So
yeah.
He agrees with you.
Art Basel, I mean, everything is, not everything, but so many things are now happening in Florida,
yeah.
In Miami.
Did you find your girlfriend in Germany or here in America?
I found it in America.
Okay, nice. Last one is from Young Tigre. Better undisputed resume, Jermell Charlo at 154, Terrence Crawford at 140, or Canelo at 168. Who has the better undisputed run? Who fought the better opposition for?
The better undisputed run. Hang on, Jermell Charlo, the one who just became undisputed now, right?
Yes.
Well, Terrence Crawford or Canelo? I would say between Crawford and Canelo.
Better run?
I would say between one of those two.
Okay.
I think, hang on, I mean, arguably, Terrence Crawford.
It was Delorme.
Delorme, Victor Postol, and Julius Ndongo.
Yeah, and Ndongo.
Yeah, okay.
So Delorme was four vacant, and then it was a unification
with
Postol.
And Ndongo had the other two.
Well, I mean, I think all three of these fighters still have the deciding fight left to do. Like,
yes.
Canelo has to do the GGG fight because, as probably most would agree, that the first fight somewhat of a dodgy decision. I mean, all of them arguably were could have gone either way. Let's put it this way. Wasn't a clear dominant yep. performance. Crawford has to fight Spence. Of course, this is, by the way, I'm a massive fan of Errol Spence. I like Errol. He's Errol Spence, Javonta Davis. I like explosive fighters like that.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like southpaws, but these two explosive fighters just happen to be southpaws. Many southpaws, funny because they southpaws always want to be cute. The southpaw hits you, they laugh at you, they wink at you. You know, they have a certain thing about them. You know? Like my last guy, who I fought, he was a southpaw. He hit me like in the first 5 seconds, a big left hook, and he looked at me like smiling, saying like, "Look, I got you." You know, like cute. But I'm gonna put you out now. But these two guys, Gervonta and Spence, they're not like that. They're strictly business. As a matter of fact, we've seen Gervonta that he's a complete animal.
For sure. Well, those are all the questions. We're going to go ahead and take this picture with you. Give out your social media in case anyone hasn't been following.
Hello, guys. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Christian Fan, and my social media name is Christian Fan _official. Please do give us a follow and write us. Get in touch. I'm most happy to hear from you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, there you have it. We'll be right back.
We'll be right
back. Thank you, guys.
Firstly, I just want to say, can I fucking fight or what? Fuck you guys, you think I can't fight.
If Katie Taylor's willing, I'm ready and able to make this an equal fight, 12 rounds, 3 minutes. So Katie, are you up for it?
Well, Bob, don't ever disrespect me. I will never fight under Conor Jake Paul. I'm a 3-time division world champion, 2-time Olympic gold medalist in boxing. Like, I can beat up Jake Paul. Real hot girl shit. I just kept saying in my head, and new. When I'm on the bag in the gym, that's what I'm saying. And new. And that's what happened. He didn't ask me about Jesus. He asked me about the know what time it is. You know, I'm top dog. She's never been in a ring with a dog before. You know, I'm a pit bull chained up. She's like the poodle in a picket white fence. You know what I'm saying? Barking for no reason.
And the new.
This is hysterical to take over for me for a lot of the lightweight division. I don't see you fighting, so. I know she wants to come here tonight to witness greatness. Maybe you can learn something from me. We can get the rematch out of the parking lot right now, too.
SDS Promotions.
It was Lamb versus Lion. It is over.
You become rich. Wealth is something that is established.
Mission Impossible.
I'm the number one heavyweight in Border Wars. What you think?
It doesn't matter what you think.
I put a 300-pound man down with my bare hands.
The guy looked over him. Oh, over
him. I'm knocking head gear off of niggas.
Damn, shorty, kill
it. Jones Walt Academy. Follow me and learn from the champ.
Mission Impossible.
SDS Promotion.
At the end of the day, every cheater has their day.
He has a good power. He has a good skills, but most of people think about him like he's untouchable.
Look at him go! Oh my word, people!
This was the best fighter since Floyd Mayweather.
I'm gonna tell y'all the truth about Canelo. Motherfucker, easy, man.
Bibble is always going to be Canelo.
He's still undefeated and still the WBA champion.
Fucking headband. Canelo. Bullshit.
Wow. I wanted to see the dog in you, bro. The dog in you, because at the end of the day, if you a champion, you're supposed to be the best.
Sometimes it's funny.
And you all should believe in yourself. And you ain't cheating what you want.
I told y'all niggas had me in the dirt. I came out the mud. No dirt. Bibble, baby.
SDS Promotion.
I'm coming back. I gotta at least do a form. You feel me?
Shout out to all my suckers, duckers, motherfuckers out there.
Ness Kamen.
Are you big and bad and you fucking crying like a baby?
Just my thoughts, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just keeping it 100% real. I put in the mouth. I get in every fucking gym. They want me there. Yo, dude is straight corny.
Horrible fighter.
TheBoxingBoys.com. You doing some whack shit. You covered in whack juice out here.
Yo, 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 yo. We back. We back. Shout out to everybody that's been tuned in, locked in. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel and help us get to that next goal of 141,500. Or you could get to Danny's goal of 150. We just need another 10,000, right?
Not
a lot.
8,000 and some change, actually.
Not much.
But make sure to smash the like button if you are tuned in. Over 500 of you watching this live. We do appreciate you. We are, just trying to grow and bring you guys as
Yeah, man. I hope you guys
possible.
Checked out our last episode yesterday, Untitled, Danny. We did a great interview with
Lil Easy.
That was a great conversation. You know, he texted Danny and he really enjoyed it. So that was pretty dope. I got Arizestro, $5 Super J, says, JoJo is the only guy who made a career-high payday from Haney. Linares was from Loma. And Gamboa was from Tank. He isn't bringing the bag. I believe there was someone else, though. I believe there was someone else that got a career-high payday, man. And if Linares didn't get a high, he got more than what he was supposed to get to fight someone else. I'm pretty sure I followed that closely. Like, everyone that got to fight Haney asks for more money. Like, that's just the way that it goes. I got the Axiom. He says, I got GGG knocking out Canelo like Juan Marquez KO'd Pacquiao. I don't know if that's going to happen. My man's shown a dangerously granite chin, so I don't know that anyone is stopping him. But phone lines are open. We're going out to Marcus in D.C. What up?
No.
Hold on, Marcus. What up?
Before we do that, you got to play that message.
I did that.
Oh,
you talking about the like?
Yeah, greatest fight star.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, we did that.
All right, 425-569-5241. Press 1. Marcus, what up?
What's up, y'all, man? This is gonna be short and brief, man. I lost a good friend today, man. Gary Russell Senior passed away today. Me and him been good friends, man, for over 25 years. Ring, and you know he was LeVar Ball before LeVar Ball. What you think about his methods or his sons? You know what I'm saying? Two-time Olympians, he got a silver medalist, he got a world champion, he got potential two more world champions on the way. He got a son, Allen Russell, who was a national, won so many nationals, beat Mike Reed, beat so many other people. You know what I'm saying? He's, you know, training. He's been training with Gary Jr. And, you know what I'm saying, just a heartfelt loss to boxing altogether. I can't really go on anything that I planned on calling to talk about today, man. I just wanted to shoot that out, and I'm just keep my silence from that. Appreciate y'all for having the platform and doing the shows and everything y'all doing, but I just wanted to salute, man, my man Gary Russell Sr. today, man, and all the Russell kids, Gary Antonio, Gary Antoine, Gary Russell Jr., Gary Antonio Jones, and RIPD. Man, that's my call, man. Y'all hold
Marcus.
Down. Peace.
Yeah. Has that been like, is that out there?
Yeah, it's out there. Kevin Ioli, somebody of Yahoo Sports reported it as well. It's like about
Jake Donovan. Jake Donovan, and then I saw Franchon Cruz acknowledge it.
A couple people texted me yesterday, but again, I didn't see any article on it.
So, recently he had to have his foot amputated. He had that issue with diabetes. I don't know if you saw, he was kind of restricted to a chair in one of the last
fights. He got his leg amputated.
He got his foot amputated, and then it went up a little bit more. Yeah, so he had been having some health problems as of recently, but it's official. It's definitely official though. Kevin Ioli, I think, did one on Yahoo Sports as well. But I mean, I knew from the grapevine around here before that, but I did see the confirmation on Kevin Ioli, man. I'm gonna reach out to Lil Gary and them in a little bit, but yeah, man, lost for boxing, man, like I say, man, four sons. Well, he really had fast, and I don't know if y'all familiar, Gary Antonio Jones, he actually fought Kaumba Alajide. That was his oldest son. Other son was supposed to, I ain't going to say supposed to be, D was sharper than all of them. He got murdered in 2004 out here in D.C. He got shot in the head. Super good. And then y'all know the other one's Gary Antonio, Russell, Gary Antonio, I mean Gary Antoine Russell, Gary Allen Russell. Those are the ones most people know. They even watch the amateur or pro circuit, but he did. Gary Antonio Jones, like I said, for Olajide, Michael Olajide, if y'all follow boxing. Not say if y'all follow boxing, if y'all remember Michael Olajide from back in the 1970s, his brother Kumba Olajide, him and his older brother, Floyd, he's 22-2 and he retired. And, yeah, man, just hard hit, man, especially around this area. You know what I'm saying? The dude was a staple with the boxing around this area from amateur to pros and just lost boxing in general, man. So shout out to y'all, man. Salute. Keep it boxing as he would love us to do. We keep it boxing and keep it dogs, pit bulls, and can corsos and band dogs as he loves and we love to talk about and deal with. So, you know, keeping it boxing is what's happening, man. So shout out to y'all, man. Appreciate the platform.
All right. I do see that Kevin Ioli has posted, and I quote, "My deepest condolences to the Russell family on the passing of Gary Russell Sr. He was quite a man who did a lot of his kids by getting them into boxing and out of trouble. Rest in power, Mr. Gary." So we'll go ahead and play a 10 count for the Russell family. Looks like we got King Born on Discord.
Brooklyn Zoo is coming through your town.
Let's get to it.
When you see old dirty bastards in a position like that, then you know that'll get rid of the boss.
Yeah. I love my TVB, comrade.
TheBoxingBoys.com.
Listen, man.
What?
Y'all hear me, right? Not really. You hear me now?
Not really.
Yo, you hear me, right? Hey, yo, listen. First of all, you know what I mean? May the Russell family have some strength. While he transitioned, while Pop Duke's transition, we love him. We gonna miss him. Yo, let me get to this. Let me explain something about maturity, man. You know what I mean? I know I love my comrades, love my TV comrades. Let me explain something about maturity. When you young, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's 4 chicken wings and fried rice. Lunch, breakfast, lunch, dinner, right? When you get older, when you mature, your breakfast is going to be, now I mean, blueberry pancakes with turkey bacon. The lunch is going to be a carb chicken salad. Dinner is going to be a piece of salmon with a brown rice, right? When you young, you always want to be with your friends. When you get older, you just want to just chill with your, you know, handle your business. You know what I mean? When you young, everything is play. When you get older, when you mature, all you want to do is work and achieve your dreams and goals. When you young, you need a man to hold your hand to show you the way. When you mature, you don't need nobody but yourself. What y'all see is the brand new, the beginning of all the bullshit. Take me with boy.
Cut it. Who next?
We've got Dre.
Dre on Discord. What up?
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
All right. Shout out. Let me tell you, Danny. Shout out, Ness. Shout out, Bat Call. I just got a question. I'm curious to know, like, with Tank, being as though he said that he would like to fight Devin or imply that he would be cool with fighting Devin, if that, like, what that does for Devin if he was to win the Kambosos fight, and if he was to win the Kambosos fight and still have to do the rematch and then still have Loma, if Tank was the sign, does he get to just jump over all of that?
Well, I guess that's what we'll have to wait and see, right?
I mean, Loma doesn't have anything. Like,
you know, Loma's still in the Ukraine, and you know, I feel like right now Loma just needs to be excluded from everything.
He is excluded until he's back.
You know,
But how would he be excluded? Because he's fighting in a war. But wasn't that a part of the contract?
Right, but he's fighting in a war, right? Like, a Ukrainian amateur champion was just killed literally today. Today, in the war.
I'm not arguing it. All I'm saying is if it's in the contract, it's in the contract. That was all I was asking, though.
But you know your answer. If my man is at war, how could he fight a fight that is irrelevant?
So then, if he's in the war, why would he be in the contract?
Because
then?
They're just assuming that everything's going to be straight a year from now. But, you know, obviously the contract states two fights with Kambosos, which may not even happen. So,
okay.
But we do appreciate the call, Dre. All
right, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Who next?
That is Omar.
What up?
The great one.
You got it right this time.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
What up, Omar?
Listen, shout out to the producer of the show. Listen, Danny, you can learn a thing from him, man. He got it right first time.
Our camera guy, Omar, came in this morning, and I told him the story, how I've been fucking up your name because I thought his name was different than yours. But, you know.
Nah, they both Omar.
They're both Omars.
You thought one was Oscar?
Yeah, I thought Omar, like this Omar was Oscar.
To be fair, you've called both Oscar.
Yeah, but see, he looks like an Oscar because he's like of Hispanic descent. But Omar, what's up, man?
Yo, what's going on, guys? Listen, man, for me, the more I hear Javonte talk, the more I understand why Ellaby needs to be by his side every time he opens his mouth. Because this guy's all over the place. I mean, he got angry, right? Because Haney said what pretty much everyone with a brain is thinking, right? Which is, if the reason you want to leave Mayweather Promotions is not because you want a big fight, then what's the reason you're really leaving for? Because, you know, you've got to give credit to Mayweather Promotions. They've done a good job with him other than getting him a big fight. And he's gone on record himself as saying, look, you know, I'd never even asked for a big fight. So what's really the reason he wants to leave? But, I mean, when it comes to Javonte Davis, for me, right, I look at him the same way I look at Jake Paul. Because Jake Paul, think about it, right? He fights at cruiserweight. And the biggest fight for any cruiserweight is Jake Paul. Similar to Javonte Davis, he fights around 135, and the biggest fight for any 135 guy is against Javonte Tank Davis. But in the same way we know Jake Paul will never jump in with a legit cruiserweight, is the same way we've been given many receipts, many pieces of proof which shows that Javonte Tank Davis has no interest in fighting anyone at 135. Apart from Ryan Garcia, I think the Garcia fight will happen, but everything else, it's not going to happen. And it's just funny because even the way he went at Haney, because, I mean, he says Haney's talking crazy. Why? Because he said a comment like that and all of a sudden his energy switches up like, yeah, now I want to fight him. It don't really make sense. But like I said, I hope Broly does it simply because, I think it will be good for the sport to have a guy who talks like that do the business.
We'll see. All right, Omar, appreciate you.
Who next?
Boozy from Broward. What up?
Yo, what it is,
Hey, Daddy.
Just make sure you're not key. So when he said that he'll fight Leo Santa Cruz or Josh Warrington, but he won't fight me, I kind of felt like it was disrespectful.
He's just a desperate fan. He gets so desperate. You know, he don't want to call. He don't
want
to get in touch with me.
I feel like I'm the best fighter in boxing. Now I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I'm better. I ain't fighting the right shit.
This is my time to show the world who turns.
Yo, what it is, family?
What up?
First off, I want to say sleep in paradise to Mr. Great Jerry Russell Sr. My blessings and condolences is to his family, of course. Second off, it's fight week for the champ, the greatness, the one. Big boy Tank, he's going to definitely do his thing in Brooklyn, as usual. But my main call is for this morning, the guy that you guys had up that came from Miami-Dade or whatever.
Yeah, Christian.
I know he. Right. I'm going to that fight. I was going to super chat this question, but by the time I did it, he was already gone. But anyway, I wanted to see, is he going to fight on that Don King promotion card on June 11th? That's the one he's...
No, he's on the Pro Box.
Pro Box, okay. All right, because I know Don King, he hosting a fight that same day, June 11th in Miami as well.
Yeah, that's Trevor Bryant.
Okay, yeah, that's the fight I'm going to see. I'm going to see that one because I wanted to see Matt Chuck out of Atlanta, so I'm going to see that fight. But I was hoping I could see him too, but I see that he's trying to represent Miami or whatever, trying to put us on the map when it comes to this boxing shit. I really appreciate it. Ness, why not have Haney and Tank come down here, man, for the fight, man? This is Miami, baby. Everybody loves Miami. Got the women.
I'm with it. I just don't know that it makes sense for them. Like, they haven't been selling tickets out here, so
that is
it'd
true.
Be a new
that
market for them to venture
right.
off into. I don't know that they won't just go to Vegas.
Right. Right, I think it'll do some numbers because just let alone is Miami, and then especially when Haney wins this fight next week, and you know Tank already had he got everybody the fan base, so I think it'll be good. But thank y'all, have a good one. I'll check in with y'all tomorrow, man.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you to all our YouTube members and Patreons. Obviously, you guys got to see me and Danny's back and forth with Paulie Malignaggi. We finally released it to the public, and it looks like it's already at almost 6,000 views. And last I seen was 270 comments. So it's titled Devin Haney Never Fought Anybody Debate. And that's with Paulie Malignaggi. It says it in the title. Check it out. It's been definitely getting some very good traction, very good comments. I'm going to put it in the link in the live chat right now on our currently live show in case, makes it a little easier for you to find it. But yeah, Danny, I don't know. Did you know it was doing that well?
Yeah, bro. I'm actually going through some of the comments now, interacting with some of the fans. But yeah, I'm happy. And, this is something that our YouTube members and our Patreons got to get an early release. And, they saw this a minute ago. So,
over a month ago, I think.
Yeah, so just want to thank.
Which is crazy to release it yesterday and it just like caught fire.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. But who we got up there, Austin?
We got the Ghetto Therapist.
All right.
What up?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so RP to Gary Russell Sr. and Batman. He died a couple days ago too. So
I've been hearing that, but I haven't seen I've just heard of that around social media. Is there something confirmed that he passed away too?
I'm pretty sure the situation was otherwise. But like I said, the Russell family, I know they're going through it right now. So just keep your prayers out for them. But let's talk about Tank. Saturday, going to go down.
Yo, we got to let you go, champ. You have a very horrible connection. It's just not working. But I do want to direct everyone to our YouTube community page where you can vote on our polls. We have a few polls out for our community members. We're trying to figure out who's been the best this particular month when it comes to
Calling.
Super Chatter of the Month, Counterpuncher of the Month, Best Patreon Guest Questions of the Month, Caller of the Month, and that's it. So for Caller of the Month, we have nominated Georgie Porgy from Boston, Dom in Seattle, a.k.a. Mr. PBC, Brandon in Cincinnati, and King Bourne. So go ahead and make your vote. Excuse me. I'm thinking about my car. Best Patreon question has nominated James Valdez. Shout out to you. Ruin the 504. Always there. Izzy in Oklahoma and La Dura. And the next one is Counterpuncher of the Month. Is it CYP? Is it J-Mac? LV Slugger or Coach JT. And the next is Super Chatter of the Month. Is it High and Low Sports Centrum, Erezestro, Jaime Nieto, or Tony Salgado? Go ahead and vote so we could get our monthly winners. Looks like we got to all our callers. My name is Nestor Gibbs on TikTok.
And on YouTube, where you will be releasing your first episode of
my new project, which is titled Cut It with Nestor Gibbs. I sat down with supermodel, the gunslinging Jamie Villamore. Check that out. It's going to be dropping today at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern. And remember, right here on YouTube.com/TheBoxingVoice, don't forget to subscribe. Click the notification bell. We have BTS footage coming out every single day for our YouTube and our members. So, and our Patreons. So definitely make sure you're already subscribed and you are a member to get those extra BTS videos. Wait, did we get to that one on 415? Banks, is it Banks? Who's that? Let me see. Yeah, I think that is Banks, right?
415. What up?
What up, Banks?
Hey, what's going on now? So, hey, man, I'm sitting here smoking one. Looking at that boy Danny, he seemed like he's staying deep, 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 though. But, man, fuck
that's
that.
His, that's
man,
his phone.
Huh?
Nah, he wasn't saying nothing. Go ahead.
Oh, say, but that boy Pauly Malignaggi, man, he need to sit his ass down somewhere real quick on him. He act like he had the greatest resume. Every time he got into a real fight, his ass got beat up. But that's on something else, though.
Who?
This tank shit. Tank kills me, man. How he act like that Mayweather is not, like, the reason why he is successful as the way he is. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, this nigga knock a nigga out after he done got beat up for 7 rounds. He'll knock a nigga out in a heartbeat. So I give him that. But you got beat up for them first 7 rounds. So what the hell you think Devin going to do to you? Devin going to beat your ass up. That's what he going to do to you. Now, you got a shot if you hit him with a good one and knock him out. But Devin defense is going to make sure you don't do that. So I don't – what pisses me off about Tank is he sit up and act like he got the superior – he got the superior skill.
I mean, people do say he got some superior skills. Plus, he's been in the bigger fights. Compared to the other men, you know, Devin, you know, he didn't win. He didn't beat the champion. T.O. beat the champion. Ryan didn't beat the champion. So he feels like he has a little more experience than the other guys. It's understandable. Looks like we got some more people jumped on. Or is that old or new?
Nope, we do have Coach Myers.
Coach Myers in Connecticut. Where is this man's intro?
Do 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 do. Come on, us.
Do 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 do.
Hey, Daddy.
It's a dollar beat. Man, damn. I believe in, you know, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. Man, damn. Definitely, that's the fight that I want. That's the fight everybody else wants. Like I said, I'm going to get these drafts. I'm going to go over there and take these kids to me.
Yo, y'all can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
First off, I got the best Patreon question. I'm just started off like that. Been having it for years. But besides that, Tank only want to fight Devin if he wins to get the undisputed. I don't think if all four belts was on the line, he'll still want to fight Devin. Because he had the WBA already at 135, correct?
The regular, yes.
All right. So I think it's only if he's undisputed. He wouldn't be willing to take that fight. Otherwise, Devin really don't offer him nothing, you know? So I think it's just if Devin wins, have all four belts, obviously Tank will take that. It's undisputed. Of course, who wouldn't? But that's all I got for today, man.
All right. Who's that? CYP?
Does he have a counter punch? I did not see.
Nah, this is his regular call.
Okay, but first then we have JP.
All right.
Long Beach in the house.
How's my audio? I'm on the shit, too.
Good.
All right, man. Good morning, y'all. Shout out, Tanner. Where Bo at? I ain't heard him.
He ain't here.
All right. All right, getting that other money. But, yeah, man, I just feel like Javonte, it's a case of clout chasing going down, you asked me. I felt that from the beginning because the energy never reads to me like he's calling out other fighters or he's really eager to get after him. Seems like he's kind of with the green print, following the green print. And it's worked for him. He's had spectacular performances. It's kept him in mention. But I think right now we're getting a little antsy because he's kind of the chick that don't got a prom date right now. The other guys at 35, 40, we can all see the pending matchups. And at the moment, Tank is kind of on the outside looking in. So how you draw some attraction to you is, you know, talk about you and Mayweather having some controversy. That's what I think it is. But I am getting a little psyched for the fight. I think it's going to be eventful. You know, I think Tank wins, but I think it'll be eventful while it lasts. That's my call.
Well, all right, all right, all right. Who next?
CYP, what up?
Yo. I want to nominate myself for Agitator of the Month because I be agitating the shit out of everybody. And thank you for the people who always call me names. It doesn't motivate me. It makes me help me at therapy, and I cry a lot. I want to tell y'all that. Thank you for hurting my feelings. No, but seriously, though, when Tank beats up Rhodey, I want y'all to give him the same love and admiration he gave the day of Benavidez for beating Lemieux, okay? From now on, whenever a fighter does what he's supposed to do, okay, I want y'all to represent him the same way y'all love y'all some David Benavidez. Because I think that 90% of y'all Dave Benavidez fans are not Dave Benavidez fans. You just Charlo hate. Prove me wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm going to hear a whole bunch of people calling in talking about how great Tank is because he beat Rhodey. I don't give a shit where Rhodey's ranked. It don't matter. Y'all see out.
I mean, Tank has to beat Rhodey in spectacular fashion. You know, Benavidez didn't just go out there and do a bullshit job. He put a performance up that was, you know, that merited you talking about it.
Right.
I got C-Dub.
Yo, TBV, what's good?
What up?
So, Ness Ring Walk.
Smash the like button. It's free. You know, people just don't got, you know, somebody just called and said it, though. It's you got to have a vision, man. You got to play chess, not checkers. He put himself in position. Like Devin is tied up for a year. So, after that year is up, hey, fight me. And Tank could skip the line. Tank is the Canelo or the little guy. So the last call before that, I guess he don't follow the sport or know that Tank is a up-and-coming face of boxing. So he don't have to have a partner. He could just make a partner, you know. And he is the cash cow down there. So between him and Ryan. So, yeah, he's just putting himself in position. It's smart to say, shit, I'm gonna see Devin in a year or when he gets done or I'll fight the winner. It's undisputed. Like it's an easy. It's just chess. It's an easy move. Shout out TBV.
All right.
Appreciate it.
That looks like we got one more, or not. That is it. Nesta Gibbs, Instagram and Twitter. Actually, that's wrong. Nesta GTO, Instagram and Twitter. We out.
Nesta Gibbs, TikTok, YouTube. Check them out. 4 p.m. Pacific today, Ringwalk Danny on all platforms, the Boxing Voice on all that good shit. We out of here.